Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is the show that gives you insights and resources on how to live a more courageous life. We'll be looking at men, the current state of masculinity, and how to create a more inspiring narrative for all men. Welcome, and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well. I had a great bodywork session this past week, a rolfing session, which is something that I used to do for work. And my rolfer, she's a Kennedy liberal, and we got to talking about politics and Trump and what the left is afraid of. And she's great, open-minded, which is really important if you want to understand how you've been conditioned to hate Donald Trump. She started to tell me a few reasons that she does not like President Trump. He's a dictator, he hates women, he's a racist, etc., etc. I listened and said I understood all that. I then asked her to at least entertain the idea that the mainstream media has been lying to her, that the things that she has heard Trump say, for instance, about women or about wanting to be a dictator, about white supremacy, have been lifted from longer speeches and put into a different context. In other words, the media will look for things that they can lift out of context that President Trump is speaking about, and then they build a new context with all sorts of unfavorable things. And this is what they then hand to Rachel Maddow or Anderson Cooper or any of their other CIA assets in the media. And they try to build a narrative and a consensus from there. To be clear, Donald Trump is dangerous to them. And when I say them, I don't mean liberals or even screeching radical leftists. I mean treasonous politician and media whores who have sold out America to communist and globalist interests and pedophiles, the ones on Epstein and P. Diddy lists. Those are the individuals who should be afraid, and rightfully so. Trump has no interest in being a dictator. Trump is not going to make abortion illegal on a national level. It's going to stay on the state level where it belongs for a very long time. Trump's not going to dismantle Social Security. That's ridiculous. He's also not going to deport you if you're here legally. If you broke the law and came here illegally, particularly if you're a known violent criminal with nefarious plans for our nation, yeah, you might need a plan B since the big guy is back in charge. Most of the fears of liberals will come to naught, but there will be lots of changes happening. Most will be great for America. My challenge to Kennedy liberals is this. Can you keep an open mind this time around? Can you at least entertain the idea that things that they have pushed so hard in the mainstream media mono-narrative about this one man could be false, fabricated, made up, fake news? I promise you, my old friends on the left, if you can keep an open mind, you will arrive at a much better viewpoint, both for yourself, your loved ones, and the nation. We are on the brink of something very unusual, historic, and jaw-dropping. Truth and justice are about to take the stage. Join us in supporting this. And now, here is today's episode, a classic with Kerry Smith from back in season 5. Enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. There's something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Kerry Smith. Kerry is a thought leader, a walk away from the radical left's woke ideology, and the creator and host of the podcast and YouTube channel Deprogrammed. Here is my interview with Kerry Smith. All right, I am here with Kerry Smith, thought leader, walk away, podcaster Kerry Smith. Kerry, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It is great to have you on the show.
Hi, Tony. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you know, your name has come up a number of times. I've sort of cherry-picked a couple of your guests, like Kelly Lamb and Gracie West. And they made terrific episodes with me. And I was like, hey, can you give me an introduction to Kerry? I'd love to have Kerry on the show. I love the work you're doing. We both get the walkaway label, meaning walked away from the woke left. Some would say walked away from the Democratic Party if you're American, but walk away we did. And I guess my first question, you and I I'm older than you. So, you know, my experience is, you know, I identified for 30 years as a traditional liberal, and then things happen. And I'll talk about that in just a bit. But you're younger than me. So when you came out of university, you and your peers were really social justice warriors, feminist studies and all that. That was a different iteration than my generation. And so I guess the first question is just, So you get out of college and you're a feminist or a social justice warrior. That's your identity as a lefty. And you're just cruising along. Like, what happened? Like, what happened that had you start to question the narrative or, you know, what was the impetus for you to start to go, wait a minute, what's going on here with the way that I'm approaching things?
Yeah. Well, that's a great question. Thank you. It didn't happen right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was in it actually for about 20 years.
Sure.
So, I like to say I picked it up at college, but that truly is when I was first introduced to some of the parts of the belief system. And I was a women's studies minor. So I was a biological anthropology and anatomy major, but my minor was women's studies. And as part of that minor, I was taking queer studies, critical race theory. I even took classes on porn. This was at Duke University in the late 90s. Mm-hmm. And when I picked it up, it was basically, I thought of it as a form of liberalism. And most often over those two decades called myself a progressive or a liberal, you know, someone on the left. And I believed that it was what it says it is, which is a belief system that is about ending oppression, all forms of oppression, and about ending bigotry and ending racism, ending sexism. It's about equality. And what I didn't realize, and I don't think maybe you can't realize this until you get out of it, was that I had adopted it as a almost like a religion. Mm-hmm. And so anyway, what got me out of it? Well, I was in it for two decades. I took it into my workplace. A lot of people my age, we took it into whatever fields we were in, whether it was entertainment or journalism or politics or education. And I took it into entertainment with me, and I was in it for a while. And then what happened? Well, okay, around 2016, when Trump was running, I started seeing, I don't know, there were things that I think became so shocking I couldn't ignore them anymore. Mm-hmm. And so that year, I went down a rabbit hole on YouTube of videos of watching people on the left, people who were presumably on my side, attacking Trump supporters, like physically attacking them, mobbing them outside of Trump events, throwing bricks at them, bloodying them. One girl, they cornered and were throwing eggs at her. And at the time, the YouTube algorithm would show you more videos like this. Like when you finish a video, it would show you another one. So I saw a lot of these videos and it left me in tears. I didn't know this was happening. It wasn't something, it wasn't part of the narrative that I knew. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like the first, it was a very emotional thing is the first crack in the foundation of my beliefs. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there were several other things. There were friends in my social circle who seemed to be celebrating almost when the sniper in Dallas killed several police officers at a Black Lives Matter rally. Mm-hmm. I had friends in my world who were like, they were simultaneously saying, we can't blame this on Black Lives Matter. He's just a lone gunman there at the BLM rally. But at the same time, they were saying things like, well, some old white men are going to have to die.
Mm-hmm.
And that was maybe the second thing that really gripped me with like, what is going on here? And so things started to kind of fall apart for me in terms of the foundation of that belief system. But it was a slow process. It wasn't overnight. Like at the very beginning, I remember I wasn't questioning the ideology itself. I was questioning whether we had lost our way. I was kind of trying to talk to people like, hey, like we're losing focus. You know, we don't support violence. Like we don't support like physical violence against people who disagree with us. And I was finding that people were sort of like, well, yeah, we do.
I don't know if you found this out, but I mean, I never got treated so bad as when I shifted over. Like I kind of had a same reaction, a little bit different than you, was when Trump was elected. I was all up in arms because I was still identified as a liberal. And I was like, oh my God, this is the worst thing to ever happen. But then kind of like a series of things like you described, I started to get like my bullshit detector started to come up where I was like, wait a minute, what? This doesn't seem scaled. Like, I feel like they're playing me a little bit, like to be all up in arms over every little thing. Like I can't do this for 4 years. I've got to back out of this. And then as I started to make my way into, I never really considered that I was moving towards being a conservative. I was just needing to get out of the insanity that I was seeing in the silo that I was in. And I, you know, I had been treated well by people that were conservatives when I was a full-on liberal. I mean, I never got called names, at least not to my face. And then when I shifted and started to question some of the assumptions that I was seeing, oh my God, it was cancel culture. It was, you're not one of us. And I mean, and including some really nasty stuff. And I was just like, whoa, like I didn't see this coming. I thought we could disagree about certain issues, but it turns out if I don't comply completely with your views on X, Y, and Z, then I'm excommunicated from this group, it looks like. And that's exactly what happened. I don't know if you had any kind of variation of that, but I mean, for, I mean, I retain, we'll talk about this in a bit, but I feel like I'm a pretty open-minded person and accepting of your views. Like if you have a different viewpoint on the vaccines, or you have a different viewpoint on wearing masks, or Trump, you know, I mean, I don't, that's fine, but it was like they were saying, if you don't check these 20 boxes, then you're out. And we're gonna unfriend you, unfollow you, smear you, cancel you. It's a good thing you got kicked off Twitter for questioning Fauci because you're insane. Like, I just got called so many names. And I was like, whoa. I mean, it was like, in a way, it validated my move in a way, which is weird to say, right? Like, why all my old friends getting mad at me and excommunicating me, validating me. But for some reason, it strengthened something in me. I don't know if you found this to be.
Oh, it does. Well, it's like if you're dating someone and you start to get some red flags and you break up with them and then they act in a crazy way and you're like, oh yeah, thanks for validating my choice.
Totally.
To break up with you.
Yeah.
Because you're a psychopath.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Did you lose a lot of friends? Did you feel like you lost friends that you'd been friends with for 20 years or?
I did, but, a lot of times I like to say social justice warriors, we don't have friends, we have allies. Mm. And what I mean by that's kind of a joke, but sort of serious also, because a lot of people, I realized that our friendship wasn't any deeper than our shared ideology. Mm. That if I did not share the same belief system, and as you said, it's not one thing, it's all of it. Mm-hmm. If I didn't share all of it, then I was like dead to them.
Yep.
And that's not a friendship. And as you said, I found that a lot of the people who call themselves conservatives, the people I was meeting, some of the first conservatives I was like hanging out with and stuff, they were much more open-minded than the people I had been hanging out around, you know, for 20 years with on the left. Mm-hmm. And that took me a while to wrap my head around. I think it's because this ideology, social justice or woke or whatever you want to call it,
yep,
it's not liberal. It's on the left, true, but it is an authoritarian ideology, and it's very rigid, like a cult. Yep. And so the people who practice it, some of them who get into it, I believe are innately, yes, very open-minded people, but it forces them to shut their brains off. It almost like cages your brain. And they become unwilling to think outside of that rigid set of rules.
I think for traditional liberals, the whole woke and transgendered, all the Marxism that was starting to be put in the schools and in the media, I think it caught everybody a little flat-footed. Because we can adapt to that. We can include, you know, because I don't care. I mean, I have gay friends. I have no issues with gay people or lesbians. I don't really, you know, I don't even care if you want to change your gender, if that's your jam, right? Like, go ahead if that's what makes you happy. But I just feel like the woke stuff kept impeding a little bit more until all of a sudden traditional liberals were like, what in the hell is all this? Like, you could wake up, you know, after months of trying to integrate the next iteration of LGBT, get it, like the next thing, pedophilia, whatever they want to tack on to say, hey, this is okay with us now too, and go, you know what? I haven't really examined my value system, but this is starting to get a long ways away from what I think is just kind of common sense. And that's not to point the finger at any group of people necessarily. It was just this narrative that the more you step back from it, the more you went, you know what? It looks insane from here.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I don't know what you want to say about that. I was kind of just riffing there on, you know, traditional liberals. I feel like, you know, they got their hearts in the right place, but they kept giving these larger and larger doses of Marxism. And I know a bunch of them are good people, and they've just struggled mightily to try to integrate this and not leave the left. I think the last thing a lot of liberals I know, they don't want to leave the left because, you know, the left's been good to them. The left accepted them. The left gave them their diversity and their, you know, live and let live philosophy. And so, and, you know, they got a lot of friends and family, and they're just like, you know, I don't want to leave this. Like, I don't know what's over there in those crazy other circles that I've avoided my whole life. Right.
Yeah. I think some of it's an identity thing where, this is also why when you're talking about people becoming so vicious and cruel on the left, when you leave the left, I think that's an example of when people have mistaken their ideas or their ideology for their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And so many on the left have done that, where if you attack their belief system, if something they believe, an opinion of theirs, they take it personally. They take it as if it were a personal attack on them as a human being.
Yeah,
and they will sometimes respond in kind. They will start personally attacking you, and you're like, whoa, where'd the personal attacks come from? I'm just criticizing your beliefs.
Right.
And yeah. But to them, it's not. To them, it feels like you're attacking them personally. That's why they come at you personally.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they can't distinguish between the two, like where do their ideas end and where do they begin? And
right.
And so, but speaking of liberals and liberals and how they look at woke, I know several who I think those tend to be the ones who are able to snap out of it faster, the ones who are definitely more in that classical liberal space. I know several who, I know I'm thinking of one right now. He would have described himself as progressive though.
Yeah.
His whole life, and you know, like crunchy Dennis Kucinich kind of guy.
My kind of guy.
Yeah. And you know, the peace bumper sticker and, you know, anti-war and everything. He voted for Trump this last election.
Crazy.
And
I know
he didn't know what else to do. He was like, I feel sick to my stomach. But I also felt like it was the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But that feeling sick to your stomach, in some ways, it's because, like you said, your whole identity in some ways has been wrapped up in your politics. And so to then go over to the other side or vote for the other side, it's like such a scary thing.
Like, well, and also like the cool ones were always on the left. Like it was the musicians and the actors and all the urbanites and the New Yorkers. And, you know, like that was the left, and the right was always like the people that lived in the like the Midwest, you know, the Oklahoma people, you know, like, I identified with the sophisticated group. You know, I read books and stuff like that. And so it was, you know, it took something to take the move over. But I one thing I wanted to ask you is like comparing the two, if we're just going to be oversimplified here and say, you know, moved out of the silo that's the left into something. It could be libertarian, it could be conservative, it could be moderate, I don't know. But a move out of the woke Marxist, let's say, you know, agenda, what is something, maybe a characteristic that you've retained and you're proud to have retained it, having learned it from the left? And then what is something that maybe surprised you pleasantly with your arrival in a new group? Because my conversations changed drastically when I changed tribes. And then maybe, yeah, what is something that surprised you about the right that, you know, the left with their narrative about what those people are like definitely had it wrong?
Well, a lot of the narrative that I believed, as I mentioned before, going down that rabbit hole and seeing people on the left attacking Trump voters, that's when I first started to realize my narrative was wrong. What I believed was wrong. I had believed Trump voters were violent, but I couldn't find any videos of them doing that.
Right.
I couldn't find any videos of the opposite. So a lot of my narrative was wrong. And I believed, like you said, some of the stereotypes you were mentioning, I don't know, I believed that conservatives weren't as intellectual.
Sure.
They weren't as open-minded or loving or tolerant. They were more bigoted.
Mm-hmm.
They just more like cave people.
So, yeah, it's just totally. Like,
And
it's funny to say it, right? You're like,
yeah,
you know, but it's true. It's like, not, that's how we saw it. Yeah, yeah.
It's not true. And I had a lot of those stereotypes about Christians too, in particular.
Totally. Yeah.
And then when I started leaving the left, and again, it was a slow process. What I started doing these things in Austin called civility dinners, because I wanted to meet some conservatives. And I knew some liberals. And so I went to a few places where I would be likely to meet conservatives. I started inviting them to the dinner, and I was getting this good mix of people who they knew they were coming to the dinner to talk to people on the other side. They wanted to be there. So it was self-selecting for people who wanted to have dialogue. But at those dinners, this couple who's now they're some of my great friends, but this one couple came, and the more I was talking, they were Christians. And the more I was talking to them, I was like, this guy's one of the smartest people I think I've ever met.
Mm.
And he went to Dartmouth. Not that you have to go to a good school, but he was just shattering a lot of my stereotypes, I guess.
Sure. Yeah.
And so a lot of my stereotypes about not just conservatives, but about Christians have just been shaken to the core.
Mm. Yep.
And I've also come to realize that a lot of times when people do go to these so-called good schools on the left, they're actually being brainwashed in some way, like I was, to such a degree that they're not really using that intellect anyway.
Right.
Have you heard that quote? I forget who said it, but it's like, there are some things so stupid that only an intellectual could believe them.
Yeah, like, exactly.
And I really think that's true. Yeah. I mean, some of the stuff that's going on right now in culture, that's just like, I cannot believe that we're saying this is okay.
Yeah.
But you have to be an intellectual to do the gymnastics necessary to convince yourself and convince your brain that this is fine.
The whole, we don't know what a man is. We don't know what a woman
exactly.
is. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like,
exactly.
you're literally going to take up airspace for 2 hours with this. Are you joking me? Like, I can't even, I'm looking around like, who's listening to this shit? I mean, it's unbelievable, but hey, this is where we're at. So let them spin the wheels. But yeah, it's unreal. You know, one of the things that I proudly retain, I think, from my time on the left is tolerance of different lifestyles, different people. I love humanity. I love the diversity of humanity, like true diversity, not the way they're presenting
right.
diversity and inclusion. We're going to slide a bunch of shaming stuff for, you know, white people in there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, like, I really honestly, my time on the left taught me to love, I lived in New York City for 10 years. I just love humanity. I love the variety. I love people of all ages and different skin colors and different lifestyles. It's just part of what I learned. And I just love that. I'm never changing that. I'm never going to give that back.
Right.
And then one of the things that really surprised me on the right is as I started to get more friends in there is just, they're such fighters on principle. Like, they're the underdogs right now. Like, they've been canceled. Like, all of the social media up till, you know, Elon Musk's takeover at Twitter, all the social media, really the dominant ones, were taken over and run by the woke. And so people in that kind of libertarian or right-leaning or Christian tribe, they didn't really have much of a way to voice what they were concerned about. And so I just found them to be like the underdogs, and I'm a sucker for an underdog story.
Oh,
especially when they've got their hearts on their sleeve. They're, you know, and you might not be a Christian, but these people are like fighting for our kids. They're fighting against, you know, this weird globalist agenda that's trying to jam all this stuff down people's throats as the truth. And I find the fight in the Christians and the fight in the right to be endearing to me, because they have been kicked over, and these people don't matter. And let's see if we can cancel them to the point where they won't even speak up. And they don't, because they have so much heart. And that part has been surprising and very endearing to me. And I would have never predicted that when I was on the left and I was judging the right. You know what I mean?
Yes. I hear you. They are the underdogs, and which is funny, because the left, so many people on the left, I think they view themselves as the underdogs. They don't get it. They don't have an accurate vision they're looking at the world in from a skewed perspective.
Yeah.
But it's the right. They're truly the underdogs. The past few years, you know, the amount of censorship is just, it leaves me speechless sometimes that we've allowed it to get to that point. And then a lot of times when I talk to, I still have friends on the left who are in that echo chamber, who are in that world I was in. I have some friends. There was a great unfriending that happened.
Sure.
The ones that kept, were willing to be friends with me. I will talk to them sometimes and they're like, what do you mean censorship on the right? Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, do you truly not even see it? That's amazing.
I know. Yeah. Yeah. What censorship?
I don't know if I answered your question. What was something on the left that I liked?
Something you retained, like something that you retained from seeing the world that way, a quality maybe that still, I think there's a part, like to your point earlier, where because we've walked away, I say what I still claim as my own qualities, because there's things I'm really grateful that I learned over there. And I'm going to take that with me the whole way. I'm never going to not be tolerant of different lifestyles. I'm never going to not love humanity and all of its diversity. You know, I say that to help build the bridge, because I think people think, oh, you're leaving the left, that means every single thing we stand for, you're against. It's like, no, that's not what we're saying. You know?
No, that doesn't make any sense, because the thing is, the world has changed. And so I think a lot of the open-minded people, they're no longer on the left anyway. So, it's not like it's a characteristic of the left anymore. The world is changing. Mm-hmm. It used to be. Yeah, it used to be in the 90s that the religious fundamentalists were on the right, the ones who were trying to ban CDs and books and TV shows.
Yeah, I remember.
Well, now they're on the left, the religious fundamentalists. The religion just happens to be woke.
Yeah.
they're woke Puritans.
Yeah.
But it's... You know, it used to be the right, now it's the left. Well, to your point, one thing, I guess, I don't know if this is a function of the left or not, but I do tend to have a lot of different kinds of friends, like different kinds of people. Mm-hmm. And I have encountered only once recently someone who is a Christian and I'm a new Christian. I'm a Christian.
Me too.
The past couple of years.
Yep.
Okay. And I've had this one person, it was just kind of a negative interaction where the disagreement came down to the fact that I do choose to use a person's preferred pronouns depending on the person who's asking and how they ask and what I think their motivations are and what else are they demanding things of me or not. It's on a case-by-case basis.
Sure.
And so if it's a person, like I've had several people on Deprogrammed on my podcast who are trans. I've had Buck Angel, Sarah Higdon, my friend Suhaila.
So it's a respect.
There's several.
I can't even
remember all. Anyway, the point is, if I respect them though, and they're not demanding, those are people who they don't pretend like they're like biological sex isn't real.
Right.
And they don't pretend like they're not transitioning from one thing to another, like they're not trying to present as the other. And they'll be the first to tell me, you know, I have a mental disorder. It's called gender dysphoria, where I have physical discomfort in my body and I've tried everything. And the one thing that's left that works for me best is to try and present as the opposite sex.
Yeah.
But I'm not under no illusions that I'm the opposite sex.
I'm not
asking you to pretend, but it makes me feel more comfortable to try and go out in the world presenting that way.
Yeah.
So that kind of person who says that, it's like, you're being honest and vulnerable with me. And I have no problem like calling my friend Sarah she, for example, and you know, knowing that Sarah's a biological male who's choosing to present as female. I don't have a problem with that.
Yep.
However, here's my rules. I'll never use a made up word like zer, zim, zupa, boop, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing it. And I'll never use they, them. And I also won't use the opposite sex pronouns. If I feel like you're an authoritarian and a controlling person who's just trying to who gain control of people and who doesn't and who doesn't command respect. Like, respect is earned. So totally. Someone who's out there, like Dylan Mulvaney is a very famous trans person who's out in society right now, meeting with President Biden.
Mm-hmm.
Dylan Mulvaney is on the record saying that he thinks it should be illegal for people to call him he.
Yeah.
Well, okay, you know, you're an authoritarian. I'm not going to respect your wishes, and I'll never call you your preferred pronouns. And that's just that's a long rambling. I'm sorry it took so long.
No, it's beautiful. I love it.
The point being, like, I came to that opinion on my own. That's my opinion. And I thought about it long and hard, and maybe one day I'll change. And I do understand. I have friends who won't use the opposite sex pronouns no matter what, right? But so one of these people is a Christian I know who basically rebuked me. I've never been rebuked before. Told me I was being rebuked, that I'm spreading the lies of Satan because I call my friend Sarah she, and that I'm participating in the lie, et cetera, et cetera. And so I was trying to talk to this person. I was like, well, I know that Sarah's not a woman. And so does Sarah.
Yeah.
And so I don't view it as participating in a lie because I'm not going out saying Sarah's a woman, like get with it.
Right.
And so I was trying to have that conversation and understand each other better. And I think what it came down to is that this person's actually never opened their heart to people who are different at all. So they don't know any trans people. And I was kind of saying like, and this person was like, well, you know, you're not going to win any trans person to Christ by participating in the lie. And I was like, you know what? I didn't want to say this, but it's like, I've actually brought a trans friend to church before and you didn't even know.
Right.
Like,
right.
And the point is like that. I mean, they're not going to, the way in which that person wants me to live my life is so close-minded that I would never be friends with a person.
Yeah.
In the first place, because you don't become friends by saying, oh, what's your name, Sarah? Okay, what's your birth name that your parents gave you?
Yeah.
You know, and you better tell me because I ain't calling you Sarah. And by the way, did you know you're a man? Let's do an interview on my channel. Like, no.
Right. I actually really like the way that you approach it. I kind of came, you know, I came up before all the pronoun stuff. I'm a family guy. I'm older than you. Like, I'm just kind of like, what's going on with that? The writer in me is like, I'm not calling a single one person a they. That's ridiculous. Like, the person that writes is like, that's terrible grammar. Yeah. Like, no. But I also like what I heard in your telling of your distinction of when to use it, whether it's authoritarian and shaming you, like, how dare you call me a he? Is I think it's a really good litmus test, because your other guests share with you their heartfelt struggles to be human, and it opens your heart up. Like what I heard in that telling of you saying, I will call you your preferred pronoun because you've got my heart. I resonate with your struggle as a human being, and you're not trying to control me, and you don't, and it seems your sweet little desire to say, can you call me this? I know it's, it goes against the grain. There's such humanity in that. And I think that's the difference, is like, you're just using your own heart to say, you know, you're not trying to get somewhere. You're just trying to help me understand your struggle a bit as a human. And I want to understand it. And I think that's a really beautiful way to distinguish those.
And I think about other sins or quote unquote, sins, but maybe you could think of them as different struggles that people have, or maybe mental health issues or what have you. And I don't think this person who was rebuking me would treat those the same way. For example, if you are obese and you're my friend, I'm not gonna every time I see you say, hey, did you know you're obese? I'm just a truth teller here.
Right.
Don't shoot
the messenger.
Right. Exactly. It's like, you just don't do that. That's not how you go out in the world. And I don't know if that's a function of being left. Actually, I don't know if necessarily it is, if it is, but I mean, I did, when I was on the left, I worked with a lot of drag queens and trans people, and just by virtue of one of the comedians I worked with, and I was producing a burlesque show with a lot of queer people. And so at a, I guess, pretty young age, was around just, you know, all different kinds of people. And I just don't have that kind of I don't know. I just don't have whatever that is. I don't have it in me to be like, what I have to rebuke you. And that's the way to get you to, yeah, to know about the love of Jesus. That's why I say, I don't know if it comes from the left, because I actually feel like this is a Jesus thing. I'm like, no, I also can't see Jesus being like, you know, let's break bread, by the way, you're a whore. Like, you know, yeah, I mean, he was truthful, but he wasn't cruel.
No, he, like, and he loved people. Have you been watching The Chosen? Have you been?
No, I heard there's, I have a lot of friends who are controversy over it, right? Like there's a big, some people love it, some people hate it, or.
Well, I mean, I'm a new Christian as well. Like my dad was a longtime Catholic. I did not go that way. He didn't, he let me choose for myself. And I, you know, as a good leftist, good liberal, I studied all kinds of Eastern religion and Eastern wisdom traditions and learned how to meditate and had spiritual teachers and learned a tremendous amount. But then everything we've talked about sort of brought me back around to the teachings of Christ. And I find myself in the same boat as you, where I'm new. I learned so much from watching the show. He was such a badass, like such a rebel. He was such a rebel, man. He was so like for humanity and so against the authorities and the sort of orthodox ways that the Pharisees were trying to jam down the rules. And he threw off rules. He didn't like that. He saw people as people and was trying to awaken this kind of divinity in people, this connection to God that was inside of people. And that's what he was about. And my wife and I both, and it's beautifully filmed. And there's so many moments of humanity between his ragtag group of followers that were just struggled to get it right. You know, you see so much of us in the story. And he was just so forgiving and so, you know, encouraging them to be courageous in what they were going to face. And I just really appreciated the whole thing. So
I want to check it out.
You have to. I think you're really going to love it. And they have a beautiful way of doing it. It's that you watch it for free. And if you like it, you pay it forward by paying somebody else's viewing subscription. And I just think that's a really beautiful way. And a way to watch it that's in alignment with the spirit of.
Really cool. I've never heard of that before.
Yeah. So, well, Carrie, thanks so much. What do you have? You have Deprogrammed. How often does that come out? What do you got going? And like, what other creative projects are you working on that you might want our listeners to know about? Are you writing a bunch? What's going on in your world? Yeah.
Well, Deprogrammed is a podcast you can find on YouTube. We do. So on Thursdays are my interviews. And I mostly on Thursdays during interviews, I like to talk to people about my old ideology, social justice or woke, whatever you call it, just to help people better understand it, to help myself better understand it. So I'll do interviews with people. Like recently I had Dr. Joel Brown, who's someone who's also recently moved from the social justice left. Mm-hmm. Moved away from it and found God. I've talked to people like Gothics and James Lindsay. Sometimes I'll have academics like James Lindsay on to try and come at it from that place and help define what it is. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Thursdays are for interviews. Mondays and Fridays, I do a live show on the same channel. And that's just kind of talking about what's in the news and what's in my mind. And I have different guests on. And we have a good time and try not to let the crazy times bring us down. Wednesday nights, I do a live show with my friend that's about pop culture specifically. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of a nerd show because we'll go back and just look at different topics like blaxploitation films and their place in culture. And,
oh, nice.
And,
yeah.
You know, what they led to and things like that. And what do I have coming up? Well, I'm going to be hosting Minds Fest, which is this year. It's going to be in Austin on April 15th. Mm-hmm. And there are going to be speakers there like Peter Boghossian, Jack Posobiec, Tim Pool. And I'll be hosting that at the Vulcan. Mm-hmm. And people can get info at minds.com. And then we are putting out on my channel, Deprogram, we're putting out our first comedy video this week, which I'm very excited about. Awesome. 'Cause I think one of the best ways to like help people, that's maybe a disarming way of criticizing my old belief system and to help people see some of the things that are wrong with it. It's just use comedy.
Absolutely.
So we have a sketch coming out that I'm so excited about. I hope it's funny.
That's awesome. I think to your point, some of the most effective awakening red pills for people have been these funny ass memes that you see that shows the absurdity of whether it's the COVID tyranny or just the woke. Like, there is some really funny snapshots of memes that capture a whole bunch of things in a really funny way. And I'm a big fan of memes and comedy to sort of bring people along, because, you know, we just take it too seriously sometimes. And I feel like people want to awaken, they want upliftment. I love your content, everything that you're doing. So we're going to support your show. Thank you so much, Kerry, for coming on and sharing your insights and your wisdom. I really appreciate your time and your perspective today. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Tony. It was nice to meet you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed our time with Kerry Smith as much as I did. Her and I are in alignment on so many things. It's really fun to chat with her. It resonated with me when she said that wokeism is an authoritarian ideology, that you must comply or else. It's so true. And I also love how she handles the pronoun thing for transgendered individuals. It's the first time I've heard such a humanist distinction, and I like it. I'm going to adopt it. And to find Kerry and her work, go to her YouTube channel, Deprogram, for all sorts of excellent content. Thank you, base campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week. If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.